You're like, Nye, why are you on at 2 o'clock this afternoon? Well, covering an extra hour today on the show, and I'm happy about that today because I get to give you, we're going to start the show today with an update on a story that I've been following now for about a year and a half, and a story that it was almost a year ago that I had first told you the story of a local man's efforts to get some friends out of Afghanistan. It was December 17th, the day that it happened last year, but it was December 19th that I first shared the story with you on 6:30 Chet afternoon. So just a little bit of background. Spencer Seeker is a retired teacher from the Edmonton area. In 2010, he spent his summer break teaching at a school in Kabul. That's where he met Nadim and his wife, who is also a teacher. In 2010, Nadim was the school's finance manager, but since then has got his law degree and was working as a human rights lawyer in Afghanistan, advocating for children and women's rights in Afghanistan. So you can imagine over the past couple of years what that has meant for the family. That put a target on his back. His wife was also targeted by the Taliban, burned with boiling water. When this started to happen and death threats started to happen, the family reached out to Spencer and started trying to leave Afghanistan. And you'll remember those hairy days as Kabul fell. And as that was happening through different channels, Spencer was actually able to get the family visas to get into the U.S., but numerous tries to get them on a plane at the Kabul airport, well, that proved fruitless. And that's when the family had to retreat to a safe house. It would be 11 months later, fed up with a lack of help from Canadian officials, Spencer returned to Afghanistan with the help of others, managed to move the family through that notorious Torkham Gate into Pakistan. Then more waiting. The waiting continued. The family lived in a safe house for another, 11 months or number of months since December of last year. And once again, frustrated with lack of movement, Spencer returned to Pakistan and fought to get the paperwork moving and the family to Canada. 2 weeks ago tonight, the family finally arrived in Edmonton, and I get all choked up every time I think of it. And I'm absolutely thrilled to welcome back to the show Spencer Seeker and Nadim. Spencer, Nadim, welcome back to 6:30 Chet.
Thank you so much, Jalen. And I just want to say to the listeners how much Jalen has been a part of this and has put me in contact with so many different, through your military connections, put me in touch with Quentin, who puts me in touch with John, who puts me in touch with Dave, and really helped move this thing forward. And I view Dave a little bit as a big brother. When I was going into Kabul the first time, he said, okay, if anything happens, you text me 911 and we'll take care of it. So that made me feel a little bit of security in a very insecure situation.
Absolutely. Nadim.
Thank you so much. Nice to be here. I'm so happy that I come out from the, Afghanistan or from the safe house. I'm I can't even imagine that I'm in Canada, but luckily I'm here. I'm so happy to see you guys. Like as Spencer told me, Spencer is like a hero for me, and all the people who trying to help me, even you and your friends, and there's a lot of people behind the scene that I even meet them, but I'm so happy. They are so kind, and finally, I'm here, and I'm so happy to see you.
Nadim, how can you even describe the past 16 months, what you and your family have gone through?
you're in the jail, and the dad was, the judge said, we are going to kill you, and they give you a deadline. So how you feel? Like you're in a dangerous place, in a jail, and then you can't even imagine what happened next to you. Like nobody knows what will happen to you, and nobody knows when it will happen to you. Even I was not worried about myself, but I am so worried about my children. Like they are small. My wife. Like I was just sometimes I was think, oh, what I have to do? What should I do? Then I
Spencer, I can remember, you know, we were texting each other when Kabul fell. Everything happened so fast, and that must have been stunning for you, Nadim. But, you know, as we were watching it from Canada as well and seeing how fast things were happening, the efforts, the frantic efforts at that time to get Nadim and his family to the airport, out of the airport onto a plane, because they did have those visas to go to the United States. At that time, it was so frantic, and it was frantic for you being here in Edmonton trying to deal with it on this end. Like, what do you remember of that?
Oh, I remember sitting on my deck in Sherwood Park next to my wife, and Nadim is texting me and I'm hearing or calling me there's gunfire in the background. And then I had a contact with the American military, and they knew those suicide bombers were coming before it happened. And he said, you tell them to get 10 kilometers away. So Nadim is dropping his pin and I'm putting it forward to someone in the Pentagon, and they're saying, no, this is where they're coming. And Nadim actually saw the drones come in and take the suicide bombers out right in front of him.
So Nadim, take me to that day. And again, you don't have to answer anything that you don't want to, but what we were witnessing, we were shocked and we were appalled and horrified. What we were watching on television, you were there in real life with your children, with your wife. What can you tell us about those days trying to get out and being at the airport, the Kabul airport?
I think that was the worst days that we had, like, in my own life. Like, we had a very good life, but suddenly it's come to down and we moved to the airport. We tried to save our family, but saving the family on the situation that we even can imagine for that, this was like, oh, my God, lots of moving. You have to move this way. You have to move. Even we forget our luggage and everything, and we just take my children and my wife and moving from one scene. There is a lot of gunfire from the Taliban, and they try to stop us, but we just cross, and they said there's like life and death times. So that was like so bad days for me, like a dark days, like we had in few.
People were killed in front of you and your children.
Yeah, there was like people who trying to get in and to the airport, but some of the previous government official who are like working as a security guard, they just shut down the people, and we saw by ourselves that they kill a person, but nobody cares. But they just, and we are just on the vehicle and watching. On that time, I was texting Spencer that this is gonna happen. This is happening here. This is happening. Suddenly, Spencer told me that you have to leave that place. Mm-hmm. And we leave that place very quickly, but we are just moving. Like, I take my with the hand of my children, one of them is in my hand, and we move it from that place very quickly, and there is a lot of happening.
So it was over a year that you ended up living in that safe house when you left the airport. And Spencer, frustrated with the lack of movement and I think support from the Canadian government, despite the fact that the Canadian government had said that it was going to help bring people from Afghanistan to Canada, you took some matters into your own hand, went over through people, channels, managed to get the family to Pakistan.
Yeah.
And we thought to ourselves, oh my gosh, here it's happening. And then the wait started again. In November of this year, just weeks ago, you went back.
Right.
Again, frustrated with the lack of movement. Tell us what happened.
Well, just being in touch with different officials, I knew the bureaucracy, understandably so. I understand we just can't open your borders and let everyone pour in. So I do appreciate that. So in contact with IRCC, the way it went is they put the documentation to the consulate in Islamabad, who then puts it forward to the IOM, which is a UN organization, and they're the ones that actually handle the movement or the evacuation out of Pakistan. So I knew that IRCC had given the paperwork to the consulate, and we had an amazing donor that wanted to fly the family out, because in their second safe home, what was happening was the Pakistani police, army, was starting to shake down Afghan refugees whose visas had run out and would either arrest them, take the money, or either throw them in jail or put them back to Afghanistan, which in some cases meant death. Mm-hmm. And so Nadeem was very worried that they were going to target him. So I knew that the paperwork was with the consulate, and I just thought I could make anything happen. And I was a little bit mistaken with that they do have a procedure. And I was very frustrated with the Canadian government. However, I was happy to know that we were able to get them moved within 1 or 2 weeks. And as soon as that happened, Nadeem has told me that they were absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, they were. Like after on 15th of November, they called us to come to the one of the hotel nearest in Islamabad. And we went there, and they managed a lot of stuff with the IOM staffs, and they managed everything, and they just take us to the airport, and there was a lot of people standing from the IOM, from the consulate, and a beautiful woman, like she was working for the from the consulate, I think Canadian government. And what happened that when our turn is to check out from the Pakistan, and the Pakistani official told me, you have passports, all these kids have passport, but my newborn baby, he don't have like passport. Mm-hmm. So they asked me, where is the passport for the baby? And I was like, well, I have to tell them because she don't have any passport. So then the woman came, that there was a girl from the consulate, and she came and she said to that Pakistani official, you cannot ask for the documentations.
And at one point they told you that you could leave, but you'd have to leave the baby behind.
Yeah, that was like when we trying to get by ourselves. And they called me, if you want to go by yourself, then you have to leave your baby, which is very frustrating me. And I was said, no, I can't leave my baby here. To whom I should leave that?
Nadeem, when you received the phone call to take your family and go to the airport, that you were on your way to Canada, it was finally happening. What went through your mind?
Oh, my goodness. When the call came and they just messaged me that you are going to have to come on 12th. So I just sat down like this, and I took my phone and told my wife, oh, it's going to happening. But still, I was worried about the airport staff. So maybe they will stop us, the Pakistani government and stuff. I was just like nervous, what will happen to the airport? What will the mm-hmm. Pakistani government say to me? Because Bibi Ground doesn't have passports. But when the lady came from the consulate and she was smiling to me and said, don't worry, everything is done. They didn't ask you for that. And they told the Pakistani government that you cannot ask for the baby passport because we gave them a travel document so they can go. Then I was relaxed. Oh, my God, like this. We sat on the table. I just remember I have even the pictures with my wife. There's a like, big table, and I was sleeping like that. And I say, oh, finally, it's going to leave.
Finally, it's happening.
We are out of the jail.
It's 2:20 this afternoon. Spencer Seeker joining me this afternoon along with Nadeem. It's been almost 18 months process to get Nadeem and his family out of Afghanistan. Nadeem, a human rights lawyer, his wife, a teacher, their children. They arrived in Edmonton 2 weeks ago tonight. We'll take a pause here. When we come back, what was it like for Nadeem's family to touch down in Edmonton 2 weeks ago? Welcome to winter, that's for sure. That's coming up. Stay with us.
Subscribe to the 630 CHED Afternoons podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts. 630 CHED Afternoons with Jalen Nye.
Sherwood Park's Spencer Seeker worked for a year and a half to get a family that he knew from his time teaching in Afghanistan back in 2010 to Canada after the fall of Kabul. And it finally happened. And you can read the first part of the story at globalnews.ca. This is the second part of the story. Nadeem and his family finally arrived in Canada, in Edmonton, 2 weeks ago tonight. Nadeem, when you were in Kabul, when you were a child, had you seen a Canadian flag before?
Yeah, that was so interesting to tell you that. I already told Spencer that when I was a child, then my mom gave me one jacket, I think it's clothes, and there was a flag of Canada on them. And I asked my mom, what is this flag for? They said, she said, I don't know, because my mom is also not educated. So my sister told me, oh, this is the flag of Canada. And I told them, oh, that's so beautiful. I was falling in love on that time with the flag. But I didn't even imagine that one day I will come to Canada with that flag. So that's like, for me, that's like, oh, amazing. Look at that. When I'm that from that, my childhood, I was like thinking about Canada. I even didn't heard the name of the Canada, but I don't know why I love the flags, but it's like...
You love the flag,
yeah,
and now you're...
Yeah, of course I love it.
It's now you're so here nice in Canada. So what was it like to step foot? You landed in Halifax and then spent a couple of days there, then came to Edmonton. I saw the video of you arriving at Edmonton Airport. What was it like to see your friend, Spencer, and have your family here?
When I just saw Spencer and I hugged him and said, oh, look at that. I'm free from the jail. And I'm so happy. My family was happy. Even my little daughter, she just moved and catches Spencer. She's so happy with Spencer. So we are so happy even. Like it's like, what do you call, like dream come true? It's like dream come true for me, for my family. And we are so happy to be here.
What's next? Find a job, you're a lawyer, see what happens.
Yeah,
just
kind of
get settled probably for a little bit.
Of course I'm looking for a job. I love to work job. Like I already told my friends and my Spencer that I'm looking to work fast as soon as I can get it. So I just hope I'm getting a job very soon.
What do you think about the cold weather?
Oh, for me, it's like I'm so happy. When you're free, you don't even think about the weather. Oh, it doesn't matter if it goes to minus 50 or 70, I don't think. But I'm so happy. And I told on the way to Spencer, look at the place, how beautiful. There's like white snow, like you cover everything. It looks so beautiful, like so amazing.
Spencer, I'm out of time, but I have one more question for you. I know that we've seen a lot of firsts over the past 2 weeks. I mean, the hockey game, the kids playing hockey, visiting Santa Claus. What has the past 2 weeks been like for you and your family with Nadim's family and welcoming and introducing them to Canada?
So many times surreal. It's like we're sitting in the bank or even when he arrived at the airport, and I think like we had guns to our head, and then here we are all this time later and we made it. And there was a time when I thought, I mean, forget, are we even gonna make it out alive? Never mind, here we are. And then sitting next to him and you look and you just go, I can't believe that this is actually happening. So,
well, it's happened, and we're so thrilled that you're here. We're all emotional again. We're all got tears in our eyes. Spencer, your never give up attitude is absolutely unreal. I wish I had an ounce of that. Nadim, welcome, and I look forward to seeing you and spending some more time with you and your family in the days and months and years to come. Welcome to Canada. Welcome to Edmonton.
I'm so happy to have you guys. Special, my hero, my real life hero. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for everyone who helped me a lot.
Thank you. Thank you both for joining me this afternoon.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.